Wow. At least you're here. I know others are here. I can hear their voices.
You know, Sam, I woke up this morning and I thought to myself, something's happening today. What's happening today? Oh, yeah, church.
Church. That's exactly
right.
And
then I thought, wait, something else is happening after church. What's after church?
Doesn't matter.
Sunday school.
Yes, that's right. There's something else happening later on today, but that's a different story. Okay? All right. Yeah, dinner. Okay? All right. Well, if you have a bulletin, take it out and let's take a look at it. So right after morning worship service, we're going to be having Sunday school. And in the adult Sunday school class, because we have Sunday school for kids all the way through adults, in the adult Sunday school class, we're continuing on with our study of dispensations. So if that's an interest to you, we would love to have you stay and join us for that. But if not, we understand. Monday night, ladies, there's Bible study here at the church at 7 p.m. Tuesday, men, Bible study here at the church at 7 p.m. Wednesday, Joy Bible study here at the church at 1:30, and we may be finishing our study in the book of Romans. And so no promises, though, okay, no guarantees. And then Thursday night is Awana, and it is camouflage night. So for a little while at Awana, we won't be able to find any of our kids because they'll have camouflage on. Some of you will get that later after lunch, okay? All right. If you have a name tag, do you have it on? No? Then you better go rectify that. If you don't have a name tag, you better go rectify that as well. And so see Tammy sometime after church. Tammy, give a wave so that people know where you are. If not, come and see me, and I can point you to Tammy's direction to be able to get a name tag for you. And so we have a lot of new faces. We have a lot of new folks, and they are wanting us to be able to. They want to know our names. You know, it's easier for us to know their name because there's only like one or two of them in a family. It's a whole lot different for them to try to know all of our names. And so that's why it's important for you to have a name tag. Also, we are wanting to update our church pictorial directory, and we would love to get this done in the next couple of weeks. So if you are a new family entity to Lake Hazel Bible Church, we'd love to have your picture included in our pictorial directory. So Christine would be more than willing to take your picture after the morning service. If you would like a change, if you've already been in our pictorial directory and you got older or grayer or whatever, and you would like to have a new picture, or maybe you got younger, I don't know, maybe that helps. But if you just like a new picture, we would like to do that for you as well. Also, if you have a change of address, a change of phone number, change of whatever, please make sure that you let us know that information. We don't need your social security number. Don't need any of that, okay? All right? And so anyway, and then we have our Bible conference coming up, and Robert's going to take a few moments, and he's going to come up, and he's going to tell us about the Bible conference.
All right. So when is our Bible conference?
March.
Awesome. March 9th and 10th. Perfect. Okay, so it's going to be pretty fun, I think. We're going to be delving into the parables of Jesus, and you know, we've titled it, you know, Jesus's greatest hits. There's going to be a lot of time to learn, a lot of time to ask questions, and a lot of time to have some fun fellowship. And so with the fellowship part comes, you know, some time to eat together and kind of hang out. And so I have a sign-up sheet. If you could look at the sign-up sheet, if you're planning on attending, write your name down, how many you're planning on bringing. And there's also some sections broken up by day 1, day 2, for the number of guests that you've invited who are not here to sign up, but you're pretty sure will show up. So your family and any guests you've invited, if you can jot those numbers down for us, it'd be greatly appreciated. And well, I can keep going on about the conference and how fun it'll be, but I'll turn it back over to Sam. So thank you.
So just remember that on the information table, there are some bookmarks that have the dates for the conference, have the schedule for the conference, have the parables that are going to be studied during the time of the conference. So you can take those and you can be able to put them with your Bible so that when the conference rolls around, you will be able to know how things are going to be lined up. And you can also use those bookmarks to help invite people to come to the Bible conference as well. So those are out there for you to be able to take for your own use as well as to use as a way of being able to invite others to come to the Bible conference. As Robert said, I think it's going to be a really good conference. We have some special speakers coming in that are going to share God's word with us, and I think it's just going to be such a great time of just getting to know more and more about God through God's word. And that's what we're here to do this morning, right? To get more and more knowledge about God from where? His word. Not our opinion, but God's. And God gets the glory.
Amen.
Oh, spoiler alert. That's what the message this morning is all about. God gets the glory.
Amen.
All right, you ready to give God glory and praise? Let's do it.
Would you all stand with me this morning? The songs changed about midweek when the Holy Spirit impacted my life. I had a battle that I was going through this week, and God answers prayer. I'm here to tell you this morning that God answers prayer. So we're going to sing some songs about how awesome God is. So would you join me as we sing? There's peace that outlasts darkness, hope that's in the blood. There's future grace that's mine today, that Jesus Christ has won. So I can face tomorrow, for tomorrow's in your hands. All I need you will provide, just like you always have. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. There's mercy in the waiting, manna for today. And when it's gone, I know you're not. You are my hope and stay. So when the sea is raging, your spirit is my help. He'll fix my eyes on Jesus Christ. I'll say that it is well. Oh, I know that it is well. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. Amen. Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. Would you all pray with me? Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful. I am so thankful that we can trust in you. There is no thing too big for you to handle. There is no thing too small that you wouldn't care about it. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you fight for us. We love you and we praise you. Amen.
What I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in, onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. And he's holding out his hand, but the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, oh, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. But the stone was just the right size to put the giant on the ground. And the waves, they don't seem so high from on top of them looking down. I will soar with the wings of eagles when I stop and listen to the sound of Jesus singing over me. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe. Yes, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
Thank you, Lord, that we can listen to you, the voice of truth, and you won't lead us astray. Whatever the battle is that we fight, Lord, that battle belongs to you, and that victory is yours, the glory is yours.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Oh, Almighty Fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Give the Lord a round of applause. Come on, he's worthy of our praise today. Lord, we're so thankful that we can come to you in prayer with our hands lifted high, knowing that the battle is not fought with these hands. It is fought with you. Lord, whatever the thing is that is troubling us, that's harassing us, that's keeping us in bondage or keeping us down, Lord, whatever the trial or tribulation is that we experience, is nothing compared to you, Lord. Nothing. All things are possible because of you and you alone. So, Lord, teach us. Teach us your ways. Teach us your truth. Teach us to have that kind of faith to step out of that boat that would sling up that stone. Lord, teach us. Lord, we love you and we praise you today because you're a good, good Father.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
As we take this morning's offering, if you're visiting with us today, please don't feel obligated to give. We give because we want to worship our Lord.
All I once held dear, built my life upon. All this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss. Spent and worthless now, compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your suffering, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness.
You're my all.
You're my all, you're the best. You're my joy, my
righteousness.
You're my all, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. And I love you, Lord. Yes, I love you, Lord.
Amen. He's our all. He's the best. Nothing or no one is better than him. Well, worship team, you did it again. These songs and hymns that we sang this morning just go right along with where God's going to take us as we look into his word. But before that happens, we need to send the children off to children's church. So kids, come on down. All right, let's pray. Wow. Father, thank you for what we've already been able to experience as we have been led by our worship team to just praise you, to honor you, to give you the glory that you deserve. Because knowing you is the very best thing that we could desire with our hearts and our minds and our very lives. Lord, you are all. You're the best. We love you. And Father, I pray that as your word is opened up to us, that we will just desire to get to know you better and better. Father, may we pay attention to what it is that you're going to teach us from your word in these next few moments. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, go and have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. Continuing on in our study of the book of Acts. So I don't know that I have to convince you this morning that we live in a me-centric world. The philosophy of our modern-day culture is that everything revolves around me. My happiness, my wants, my pleasure, me. Do you realize that up until about 450 years ago, everybody believed that the universe, the sun, the planets, revolved around the earth? Then in 1543, Copernicus told them that the earth wasn't the center of the universe. 50 years later, Galileo said that the planets revolved around the sun. The scientific community and other authorities were so opposed to this idea that they threw him in prison and then threw him out of the church. The very idea that we were not the center of the universe was unthinkable. But God has a very important lesson in all of this. The world doesn't revolve around you or me. God's priority isn't your comfort, your happiness, or your pleasure. Because think about it this way. If God existed to please you and me, then why aren't we pleased all the time? Truth is, it's not about you or me. It's all about God. If God's priority isn't to make us happy, to please us, then what is God's priority? Spoiler alert, God's priority is that he receive all the honor and glory. If God had a to-do list, it would consist of just one thing. How can I reveal my glory? How can I receive the most glory? Because God exists to showcase God. God wants the spotlight on him. Everything that God does, it is to bring him glory. Now, this doesn't mean that God has an ego problem. If you or I did everything we do for the purpose of receiving honor and glory, and we know people like that, right? We would be considered arrogant, egotistical, conceited, and pompous. But God doesn't do everything so his glory will be revealed for his own good. God doesn't do everything so that his glory will be revealed in everything that happens for our good, so we can witness his glory and we can be a witness of his glory. God wants us to see his glory so we can reflect that glory to others. But sometimes it's difficult for humans to live their lives to bring glory to God. Later on today in Las Vegas, there's a contest between some athletes. Some of those athletes are going to be very gracious at the end of the contest, and they're going to give glory to God. Most of them are going to reflect the glory onto themselves. We won because I did this. We won because I did that. We lost because I didn't do this. We lost because I didn't do that. That is typical of the world in which we live in. But sometimes it is difficult for humans to live their lives to bring glory to God. There was a man named Herod who had this problem. Now remember, last week we talked about Peter being amazingly freed from prison by God's angel. Y'all remember that? Okay? If you were here, you should remember that. And after that happened, Herod was not a happy camper. He ordered the soldiers and prison guards to be put to death, and then he headed to Caesarea to do some work there. Now, Caesarea is a port city located on the Mediterranean Sea, and it was built by Herod, get this, Herod the Great, to honor Caesar. And one of the landmarks in Caesarea was the Hippodrome. This was a place for chariot racing, for gladiators to do battle with soldiers from other places and with animals, for sporting contests, and for political leaders to address the people who sat on tiered seats in an outdoor amphitheater. Once in Caesarea, Herod made his way to the throne in Hippodrome, located high above the crowds gathered there. And this is the setting for our text this morning. Hopefully by now you found Acts chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 20 through 25. Follow along as I read. Now Herod was angry. Yeah, that figures, right? That's the kind of guy he was. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord, and having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace, because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took a seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man!" Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. What do we learn from this? Well, the focal point of the message this morning is this: make your life all about bringing glory to God. And there are some things we need to remember in relationship to living our lives to bring glory to God. Here's the first thing. God never loses. I've learned that in all of my years of ministry the hard way. God never loses. Last week, we saw how God does the unexpected when the church is earnest in prayer. Herod's desire was to execute Peter, and that desire was turned upside down when the angel of the Lord, what? Set Peter free. And Herod was so angry that he had the soldiers that were guarding Peter, he had the authorities in that prison, what? Put to death. And because he was angry, he heads home to Caesarea because he needed to be validated. Now, for some reason, and we're not told why, Herod was angry with the people of Tyre. This shouldn't be a surprise with the kind of person that Herod was. Okay? All right? Now, Tyre and Sidon were independent city-states. But here they come together to make an appeal to Herod. Did you hear what it said? And having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. Now, a chamberlain was a personal assistant who was responsible for the king's living quarters and taking care of the king's personal finances. And these two towns seemed to always need grain from Israel, going all the way back to 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 11, where it tells us Solomon gave them cores of wheat. And maybe the reason why Tyre and Sidon were coming to Herod now was because the famine that was mentioned in Acts chapter 11 and verse 28 was having a negative impact on their food supply. But in any case, they figured out the best person to be able to go to Herod on their behalf, Herod's chamberlain named Blastus. They needed Blastus to help blast away the animosity so Herod would help them in this food crisis. And then, after taking care of Tyre and Sidon, Herod is ready for an appearance to the people in Caesarea. Go back to verse 21. It says, on an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne where? In the hippodrome, and delivered an oration to them. Now, historians tell us this appointed day was a two-day celebration, with one day set aside to celebrate the birthday of the Roman Emperor Claudius, and day two to honor, guess who? Herod himself. And on this day, to honor Herod, he dresses up in his royal military apparel. And the historian Josephus mentions his robe was made from silver, which would have glowed and glistened in the bright Middle Eastern sun. Also, silver ornaments were attached to the robe, causing bright light to shine in people's eyes, creating a kind of attention-getting effect. Herod was a spectacle of glory and splendor, kind of like some of our music celebrities of today, right? Have you ever seen some of their, or bits and pieces of them doing a concert somewhere? Yeah, the shinier the clothes, the better. Why? To put the focus on who? Them. To put the attention on who? Them. Now, this throne was also known as the Bema Seat, was an elevated place of judgment, often used for making pronouncements on judicial matters. It was the place where victorious gladiators were honored and winning athletes were rewarded. And from this place, Herod delivered an oration. Now, we're not told what Herod said. We're not told how short it was. We're not told how long it was. We're not told what it consisted of. We just know that he spoke to the people. And as he was speaking to the people, the crowd indulged and celebrated the ostentatious political leader by saying, "The voice of a god and not of a man." They were shouting this at the top of their voices. And the word shouting here indicates that this was a continual cry or loud clamor. It's interesting that Luke, the writer of Acts, in the gospel that he wrote in Luke, used this same verb of the Jewish mob. It's recorded in Luke chapter 23 and verse 21, where it says, when they kept on shouting, "Crucify, crucify him." Now, this was a test for Herod. What was the test? Would he receive this blasphemous praise for himself? Or would he quickly refuse it and give God the glory? And you know, it's interesting that this is a clear contrast of when Peter encountered people wanting to worship him, as we looked at in Acts chapter 10, that Peter was quick to say, stand up. I too am just a man. But instead, Herod neither denied nor deflected this adoration, not realizing how serious of a thing it is to take God's glory from him. In fact, Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 11 says, for my sake, for my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. Notice that God repeats, for my own sake, twice for emphasis. Why? Because God's glory is that important. God doesn't want us as human beings to take the glory away from him. That's not what we were created for. In fact, we were created for God's glory. We're going to talk a little bit more about that here in a moment. Psalm 115, verse 1 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory. Not to me, O Lord, not to you, O Lord, but to his name be glory. And you know, showing our tendency for taking glory for ourselves, I think it would be important for us to continuously repeat, not to us, not to us. Herod did not stop or reject the praise of the people. And as a result, God took care of Herod. Look at verse 23. Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. And this word immediately means on the spot. Immediately, as quickly as possible, the angel of the Lord struck down Herod, and worms started to eat him as he breathed his last. Now, it's interesting that just in the last chapter, an angel of the Lord came and struck Peter. Remember that? We talked about the fact that Peter wasn't touched by an angel. He was smacked by a heavenly being because the heavenly being had to wake him up. Even in the midst of the glory of God shining in that prison cell where Peter was what? Fast asleep. And we talked about the reason why Peter could sleep in the midst of that kind of situation was because Peter knew that the church was praying earnestly. You know, God does things when God's people pray. God does things when the church prays. Isn't that what Jared said at the beginning of our praise time this morning? That the reason why he took the songs in the direction that he did was because he saw God. He experienced God answer prayer in his heart and his life this week. And so an angel of the Lord struck Peter to wake him up. And an angel of the Lord now takes Herod out because he did not give God the glory. And Herod dies a horrible death with worms eating him from the inside out. I can't even imagine that. Before he took his last breath. And you know, as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of the verse in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 8 where it says, the righteous is delivered from trouble and the wicked walks into it instead. And in light of this, I was able to read this verse in Proverbs a little bit differently, where I read the righteous, Peter, is delivered from trouble, and the wicked, Herod, walks into it instead. And we need to understand through this how we are to give God the glory. Church family, you and I exist for one primary purpose. And that is to give glory to God. The greatest actions and attitudes we can do is to always bring glory to God. You know, one of the key statements of faith is soli Deo Gloria, which means to the glory of God. What's the last word? Alone. Alone. We're not to share with God's worry, God's glory. We're not to take the place of taking God's glory for us. We're to reflect that glory to others, and we're to reflect that glory back to God. Now, this word glory is one of those religious words we often use, but we may not understand. So let's take a few moments and let's try to get to understand this word glory. The word glory means to be heavy or weighty, and it has to do with reputation, fame, splendor, and prestige. It's related to the word magnify, which means when we give God glory, we're really helping people to see how big and majestic He really is. And the opposite of giving glory to God is selfishness and pride. Selfishness says, I'm good. Selfishness says, I'm great. Selfishness says, look at what I've done, instead of look at what God has done in me and then through me. See the difference? But it's so easy for us as human beings to take the credit. When I'm interested in taking credit or just focusing on myself, then God doesn't get the glory. Let that sink in for a moment. When I'm interested in taking credit or just focusing on myself, then God doesn't get the glory. Now, it's interesting that the Greeks equated glory with opinion. For them to have a high opinion of someone was to give them glory. The Hebrews would think of the term glory, of the brilliance of God's Shekinah glory and the sum of all of His attributes. So let's break this down a little bit more. To understand this more fully, to give God glory means our opinion of Him is heavy and weighty because He is brilliant in His beauty. One thing to keep in mind is we are not giving to God what He doesn't have already. God already has glory. He has glory in eternity past. He has glory in eternity present, and He will have glory throughout eternity future. And since He is all about glory, we might as well what? Just reflect the glory that comes our way, the praise that comes our way, His way. To give God glory is to acknowledge and magnify what He already has and who He already is. Charles Ryrie put it this way: God's glory is His reputation. To live for God's glory means to live so that God's reputation is enhanced, heightened in quantity and quality, and not diminished in any way. God's glory means that we live so that God's reputation is enhanced, heightened in quantity and quality, and not diminished in any way. You see, when people look at us, they should see the weightiness and the beauty of God fully displayed in our lives. Because Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 says, we have been created by God and for God. Let me remind you of the other side of that. We are not created by ourselves or for ourselves. We were created by God. You get that? So therefore, if we didn't create ourselves for ourselves, then all of the glory goes to who? The one who did create us, because He created us for Himself. Colossians 1:16, we've been created by God and for God. And when we care about God's glory, we can say along with Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 8, your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. Now remember, no one can match His power or frustrate His purposes. Keep this in mind. If you take on God, He never loses. If you take on God, he never loses. Well, there was another king other than Herod, and Herod really wasn't a king. He was more like a governor. He was more like a Roman authority put in charge of the area known as Israel at the time. But there was another king, the king of Babylon, who started boasting and bragging. His name, you might have heard of him. His name is Nebuchadnezzar. And listen to what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar from Daniel chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading from verses 30 through 34. King Nebuchadnezzar says this: "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power, has a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" Whoa! What? Who does he think he is? Well, listen to this. While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will." Immediately, the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. There's that word, immediately, which means what? On the spot. The word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird's claws. Why? Because he dared to take on God. And remember, God never loses. Okay? All right. And for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar was away from his kingdom. For 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar lived out as an animal in the field. For 7 years, he lived among the beasts. He had no contact with human beings at all. For 7 years. And then listen to this. This is Nebuchadnezzar talking again. "At the end of the days," what days? 7 years worth of days. "I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever." It took him 7 years to figure out that, you know what? He should have been what? Deflecting the praise to God. It was God that established his kingdom. It was God who put him into place. In fact, Romans chapter 13 says that God puts our political leaders in place for his plan and his purposes. And he leaves them in office for his purpose and plan, and he removes them from office, has his purpose and plan. But yet, we have a lot of political leaders who what? Think they're all of that in a bag of chips, right? They think they're the ones who are in control. And they collect the glory instead of reflecting the glory. You know what? I would much rather be a reflector of glory, of God's glory, than a collector of my own personal glory. Nebuchadnezzar tried that. How'd it work out for him? So remember this, because God never loses, make your life all about bringing glory to God. There's another thing that we need to learn, and then the other thing is this: God's word always works. God's word always works. So while Herod returns to the dust of the earth, look at verse 24. It says, "But the word of God increased and multiplied. Nothing or no one could stop the spread of what? God's word." And notice here that God's word did not just increase little by little, it continued to multiply. Wow. Herod's gone. But the inspired, infallible, irresistible, inerrant, invincible, and authoritative, those were all the adjectives I could think of. An authoritative word of God continues to what? March on. God never loses. And his word always works. That's why it's important for us to live our lives according to what God has told us in his word, not to the dictates of man, not to the philosophies. I'll get it right. I've been practicing that. The philosophies of man. But what? The truths of God's word. We here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, we don't govern ourselves by what we think is best. We govern ourselves by what we know God's word has told us how we ought to govern ourselves. I don't come up here every Sunday morning and preach to you my opinion. Because what would be the point of that? I come and I preach to you the word of God. Why? Because it's the word of God that works. Not Pastor Sam's opinions, not Pastor Sam's ideas. Herod's gone. And the inspired, infallible, irresistible, inerrant, invincible, and authoritative work of God continues to march on. And if Jesus tarries, and there comes another pastor behind me, God's word is going to continue to work. Because it's his word. And I hope the pastor that comes behind me has as much of a dedication to preach only the word of God. And not what he thinks. You know, in our study of the book of Acts, we've learned that nothing seemed capable of stopping the effectiveness of God's word as it was being used by the early church. Corruption and contention in its ranks did not constrain it. We saw that in chapters 5 and 6. Its spiritual enemies could not contain it. We saw that in Acts chapter 4, in Acts chapter 8, in Acts chapter 11. And even Roman officials such as the great Herod could not control it. What does this tell us? What we learned last week. God's purposes and plans always prevail. And then I love verse 25. Because verse 25 shows us how God uses ordinary people. Oh, that was a sermon from a couple weeks ago. God uses ordinary people to take his word to others. When Herod died, God was using his willing and available servants for his mission. Look at what it says in verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. Now these servants, Barnabas and Saul, They had been in Jerusalem. Then they went to Antioch. And they went from Antioch back to Jerusalem. Why? To distribute the money collected by the believers in Antioch. Remember that? We just looked at that a couple of weeks ago. And when they returned, they brought the nephew of Barnabas with them. And we're going to read more about how God continues to use these men in the upcoming chapters in the book of Acts. He's using these men who are willing and available to be used in God's mission. You see, people who choose to let God use them are always called to live by faith. As they what? Give glory to God with their lives. Now, we see how God used ordinary people, how God used people of faith when we read Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the phrase by faith is used 22 times. And after listing the men and women in God's hall of faith, the writer describes what they went through in verses 33 through 37. But then when we come to verse 38 of Hebrews chapter 11, we read these words, of whom the world was not worthy. Another translation puts it like this, the world was not worthy of them. Why would God say that? Because everything these servants of faith did to bring God glory. So make your life all about bringing glory to God. Live your life for God's glory. Get rid of the things in your life that does not bring glory to God. Because God will judge rightly for his glory. Father, we're so thankful for what it is that you've taught us as we've been able to look into your word this morning. And Father, I pray that you will help us not to be glory collectors, but to be glory reflectors. Father, may we reflect your glory to those around us, that they may be able to see how majestic you are, that they might be able to see how wonderful you are, that they might be able to see how loving and gracious you are. Father, help us to fight against the temptation of taking the glory for us and not reflecting it back to you. Father, may our lives be all about giving you the glory you so richly deserve. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song? And I swear we did not plan this.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus the pardon receives. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Yes, give him the glory, great things he has done.
We'll see you at Sunday school in just a few minutes.